You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using a literature-based approach to education with my own three children. This week, I'm joined again by Linda Sarna and Kara Beck to talk more broadly about the reading life of a homeschool mom. Whether you're an avid reader or wanting to read more, or not sure if you care about reading at all, this conversation will help you find good books and encourage you to start where you are as you build your own reading life. Are you looking for a science podcast your kids will love that is rooted in biblical truth? Nat Theo, Nature Lessons Rooted in the Bible, helps kids grow in wonder and faith as they explore God's world through the lens of God's Word. It's a simple and fascinating way to enjoy Bible-based nature study. Weekly episodes explore animals your kids already love, like axolotls, sea otters, bats, lions, giraffes, and more. Join thousands of families tuning in every day around the world to this top-ranked podcast. It's engaging, biblically grounded, and full of, wait, tell me more, moments that spark great family conversations. I know my family has greatly enjoyed this podcast. The Nat Theo podcast is free to listen to wherever you enjoy podcasts. You can also join their club for new Bible and nature curriculum every week. Listen free wherever you enjoy podcasts or at nattheo.com. Now let's get into the episode. Well, today I'm back with our friends Linda Sarna and Kara Beck. Last time we talked about our year with Well-Read Mom and the year of the teacher, but this time I wanted to talk with Linda and Kara more about their reading life because they collectively have 14 kids between the two of them, and they'll have to tell me how long they've been homeschooling all in all, but let's just say they have some experience under their belt. And so I wanted to talk to them about how reading just has been a part of their homeschool journey. So welcome back to the podcast, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Two of my favorite people to spend time with. So this is very fun.
I wish you were here.
I know. It would be much more enjoyable if I was in Minnesota.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. I've only been there in like late winter, so not quite as glorious. But so I wanted to start out. Did you guys start out in homeschooling as readers yourself? Or what was that? What was your reading life like when you first started homeschooling?
Yes, I've been a reader my whole life. Yeah. But I would say that it ebbed and flowed around school because when you're in school, you're forced to read a lot of things you don't necessarily want to read.
Yeah.
And so I think I grew out of the love of reading, especially through college and then high school and college. And then when I became a nursing mom, I started reading a lot while I would be nursing. Mm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a reader also. I had I'm not even really sure who it was in my life that gave me good books. We didn't have a lot of books in our house, but I read Little House on the Prairie and Anne of Green Gables and The Princess and the Goblins. I remember reading those, and and I had a teacher in school who read aloud to us. And when I was like in third, fourth grade, so I kind of think it might have been her that was recommending these books, but. So I did read, but then as I started having my family, I just read whatever. I would just pick up books at the grocery store, you know, and read. So they weren't all that great. And so I feel like when I was reading stuff, but when I met Carol, the first time I heard her speak, my third child was just a baby. So she's 31. 32. Mm-hmm. And I heard her talk on how to make your child a lover of books. And I just was like, my heart burned, you know, like I was just so excited about that. And so I had that book list. And I feel like my education started then. Like some of these books were so hard to read. But as you read them, it just got easier and easier. And I'm so thankful for Carol and for giving me direction in my reading life. And
yes.
Yeah. And yeah. Mine was similar. I feel like I saw her when my oldest was 3 and now she is 28. And, but I think a lot of my initial reading was really kind of devouring the book she recommended around like the philosophy of education. So I was reading Charlotte Mason's, entire volume of works and But those two were incredibly informative because they were very literary in their style, you know, for the children's sake. And then, you know, decades of picture books that have been very, very formative to, you know, like Mrs. Rumphius and the Oxcart Man and Carrot Seed and just all the many, many titles that are on her young children's list. And I feel like I've grown up into reading again with my kids. You know, it's like picture books was kind of the energy for a long time. And then you're chaptering. And then, you know, I feel like I've been through a children's literature course.
Yeah.
And now I'm a big Very girl much. In the Well-Read Moms book club, you know.
You've arrived.
All the big books.
But when I'm thinking about my reading for the year, I always sprinkle in some children's books in there because I just, I miss, I loved reading those to my kids. And so I just, I guess I just need to have a children's book going in for my soul.
Yes. Yeah. And it kind of gives you that easy win. Like you feel like I finished a book and it wasn't really laborious. It was just pretty simple, you know? So Linda, does that mean you plan out what books you're going to read in a year, or you just kind of make a stack you want to work through, or how serious are you?
Oh, that's a good question. So about 10 years ago, a friend of mine and I came across like a reading challenge where they gave you topics. And so we started, so, you know, it would be like read a book on your bookshelf that you own, but you've never read, or, you know, something written the year you were born, or, and then you get to go pick the book. So we would kind of meet in January and have our list of topics, and then, you know, we'd go our separate ways and kind of read the books that were in that fit those topics. And then we'd meet up at the end of the year and see, did we meet? And so I do still kind of do that. Like I try to, cause it gets you out of your, out of your rut, sort of. It forces you to read things that you wouldn't normally read. So I do that, but then I don't always read all those books that I think I'm going to at the beginning of the year, because I also jokingly say I like to read as the Holy Spirit leads. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I need to read this now. And I'm off on a tangent. So, So January's fun because it's all about like thinking about books and what am I going to read and what maybe do I want to read. And
Yeah, I That's tend to fun. Be more thematic in my choosing, probably. Like, I kind of want to read about, I wouldn't say it's as defined as, like, the year of the teacher, but it's kind of how I plan a lot of the literature my kids read. If it's not associated with, like, a history season, it's like, oh, well, what is the main themes of these books, and how might that develop virtue, you know, or expose vice, you know? I think that because I do so believe that literature is just so formative, both in being read aloud to you, but in reading a book, that we're not, you know, forcing our children to regurgitate certain some things from it. But I did have purposeful intention around it too. So even though they got to pick a lot of books, it wasn't like it was an all or nothing thing, but it was just one thing that said, hey, I'd really like you to have these two in your lineup this year, and then the rest you can choose, you know, kind of thing. So, especially once they're older, like high school age, because it's not always easy to keep the value high for every child, you know. So I've kind of chosen books similarly, I think, for myself.
Like on a theme, more of.
A theme, or like sometimes I really just need to have like more of a vacation, my book via vacation. And, my, you know, so, you know, the Mitford series or other things like that, which are, you know, well-written stories, but they're not going to demand so much from you, like Purgatorio, you know, or other things, you know. It's like good therapy, really.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about why you think fiction is important or valuable to read, because I think maybe some people struggle with that or don't see how fiction could be just as powerful maybe as, you know, like maybe you think, oh, I'm having this problem in my life. I reach for a nonfiction that's going to tell me how to untangle myself from this problem or cope with it or whatever. Not that that's inherently wrong, but actually grabbing a fiction title on a theme related to that struggle could be even more powerful in some cases.
I think like taking that nonfiction, it's all about your head. You know, you're trying to think about how to fix your problems. And when you're reading fiction, it's your heart. It touches your heart. You see people that are struggling maybe with the same things you're struggling with and how do they handle it. And I'm just thinking right now I've been reading a book called The Ethics of Beauty very slowly because it's dense and difficult and whatever. And I keep reading it. And my son, when he was in college, read Brothers Karamazov. And as I'm reading this, I keep thinking about my son and how he would talk to me about this book. And I finally went, I need to put this down and just read Brothers Karamazov, because everything he's saying, and the author is an Orthodox Christian, and he teaches at an Orthodox school. So it's, it's kind of that type of theology or whatever. But anyway, so I'm reading Brothers Karamazov right now just to see if I can understand the ethics of beauty better.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The deacon at our church, one of the deacons at our, Linda and I go to the same church. She always says, you become out of what you belong to. And I just feel like literature shows people becoming out of what they belong to, good or bad. And so I just think you see characters evolve and become more fully themselves in the eyes of Christ, or less themselves, or the struggle of both. And I just think they're really good examples and teachers of good and bad, you know, like the real struggle of humanity.
It's back to school, and as you're settling in for autumn, what better way to bring joy into cozy evenings than with rollicking music your children can play together? Instead of driving your children to music lessons, the whole family can learn from the comfort of your home for less than one private lesson. Choose from either guitar, piano, violin, ukulele, or mandolin, and get back valuable time in your day. Your children will be self-motivated to practice by quarterly challenges, contests, cash prizes, and the Vogtberg Method's proven success path, where students work to learn new skills and songs on their instrument for badges mailed to your doorstep. Students no longer have to wait a week to have their teacher correct improper form or get help. Expert Vogtberg Music Academy instructors are accessible 24/7 for your students' questions. And live coaching calls and student showcases ensure your student will have the support they need, from first unboxing their instrument to tuning it to playing their first song their first week. If you're looking to make your child's experience with music fun, affordable, and effective, and efficient, check out VogtbergMusicAcademy.com. And use our code HOMESCHOOL25 for 25% off your first month. Join thousands of other families learning music in a like-minded community your children will love to be a part of. Now let's get back to the show.
Yes. I'm thinking of like The Bird in the Tree by Elizabeth Gould. And how I feel like that's probably one of the best books on marriage anyone could ever read. Yeah. Because of the themes and the experience that the characters have and the message that it gives. But it's all through story, and it's not preaching at you or anything. But if you're ever having a hard time in your marriage and you pick up that book, it will minister to you deeply and remind you of what's most important in your marririage, and just, but also not without, not discounting the hard parts of it, that it can be hard and you can also do what is best for everyone involved in your family and in your community. You know, just things like that. Or like Hannah Coulter is one of my favorite books, because probably because of the way that it, I just feel like she's like my best friend, and I feel so much like connection with the things that she shares about her life and stuff. Like in one point, she's talking about how they sent their kids off because they're in a rural community, and they send their kid, you know, they're always talking about a better place and all this stuff. And that book spoke to me so much about, like, I struggle with contentment, like, because I'm always imagining, like, developing things and wanting to change stuff. And it was like, that just taught me a lesson and, like, gave me words for something that I don't know if I could have, like, what else could I have read that would have met me? I just think books meet us in a way that, like, really even a friend has a hard time doing, like, another person has a hard time doing, because a book just comes to you right where you are without you having to explain, this is how I'm feeling, and these are all the circumstances mm-hmm. around that feeling, and et cetera, et cetera. It's like the book just finds you there, yes. which is why it's so beautiful that the Bible is a book and the living book. Right. But it's just like, yeah, I just, nothing else can really just meet you right exactly mm-hmm. where you are.
Yes.
And then just speak to that specific thing. And yeah, I don't feel like I'm naturally inclined toward fiction, but I've grown, like, more and more appreciative of it. And rereading things that have really ministered to me, like going back and spending time with them again.
And I think that's what I mean by letting the Holy Spirit kind of guide my reading. I kind of say that jokingly, but mm-hmm. That has been, like, I'll just pick a book up, and it's fiction, you know, fiction book, and all of a sudden it's like, this is so pertinent to my life mm-hmm, right now. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like that's God's way of kind of helping me out, you know, by putting this book in my path. Mm-hmm. I just have felt that a lot in my reading.
I feel like it's so beautiful that, you know, words, again, like if you think of the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, then you just think of how he's given certain people just the gift of a well-crafted sentence and the power of words. And I feel like when I'm reading, I'm just in such a receptive posture. So I'm more like receiving a gift from something, like when you receive the Word of Life, you know, kind of it's like you're in more of a receptive posture. And I just feel like my soul is ministered to in ways because my head is not as engaged at the forefront of of the story. Whereas if I'm reading things like it that are more about like nonfiction or more like data points or self, you know, how to be a better whatever things, I get my head really involved, and then I demand something of my heart to now go do, and because it's good. Whereas you see in literature that goodness can be worked out in so many ways, and the faithfulness of God, because the arc of literature follows the arc that's already been given to us in the scriptures. So you see your heart, I don't know, just... I find that literature helps me read the Bible differently as well, like as human, like as people in a story, as a literary work is, you know, probably the right word. You know, that is also gets us into a more narrative approach to the Bible that helps me to sit with the story and the characters of the story in a way that feels more personal and ground level. The same deacon at our church does a Bible study that's a narrative study, and it feels like you're at a great books class or like in a well-read mom book course, you know, because we're talking about what's really happening in the ground level in between the words and the lines, which is what you get in literature. It's not just the words on the paper, it's the atmosphere, it's the whole it's the whole thing. You're transported into something.
Yeah, I was thinking it's not only fiction, it's narrative. So even biography, even stories of, you know, they can still have that same power, then that same access to our hearts, where we're not just sitting there engaging like intellectually, but also like connect with the people who are in the story, even if it's true, even if they really did live and everything.
Yeah, I love missionary stories for this reason. Like, that's been a big part of our literary journey, has always been a missionary story along with literature or history. And I think that again, it's the same principles. You see their lives and all that goes into the cost of that, especially for, I mean, even still today, but when you're reading about like people from the 1800s or 1700s mm-hmm. doing things, like it's just a different lens. I don't know. I love it. Mm-hmm. I wish my hope for this year in Well-Read Moms with the Year of the Woman is really to slow down and allow myself to just be with the book as mm-hmm. I get a little more time in my journey as a mom and a homeschooler. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that the books won't, I will just be able to receive the books versus like read the book.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. I guess this is my second year. I started writing down the books that I read just so I can have a record of it in a journal. And then I write quotes from the different books that I've read. Oh, so nice. It's kind of all collected. But the downside of this is that then, you know, at the end of the year, you'll start hearing about how people read like 150 books in the year or 50 books or whatever, you know, the case may be. And then I start to feel this like pressure, like, oh, well, I didn't read enough or, you know. And yeah. But then when you realize like how many, like actually in the, you know, most people are hardly even reading a book in a year, you know, it's just like it's all relative. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm trying to also give myself that freedom and like that permission of just like, it's not about how many books you read, like, because just trying to like get through as many books as I possibly can in this frantic way is not the point. It's not the point of my reading life.
I did get called out by one of my kids once because we were like trying to get through some stuff with school. And he goes, "Mom, you're speed reading."
Yes, I'm so guilty.
I need to calm down.
I need 20 pages. You have to read 20 pages.
Did you guys catch that?
Well, it is a season, though, Rachel. I'll talk to you. You've got young kids in your house. Kara, you're still homeschooling. And I do read more now than I have ever read. But I mean, I probably read the same amount. I was just reading to my kids.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now I'm reading things that I want to read and, you know, having to go back and read some of those children's books to just mm-hmm. remember how fun that was. But
yeah,
I mean, it's a different season. So don't be trying to keep up with empty nesters.
The Joneses. Yeah. You're reading like a 400 page, you know, it's like you might, it might take one line up on your list, but it was 400 pages long and it was a hard slog, you know, then that's different than if it's just this breezy little 100 page situation or whatever, you know, it's, they're all different. So it's not even like one book is equal to the rest and everything. So,
well, my problem too is I'm reading many books at one time sometimes. So I have the book that's by my bed and the book that's in my bag and the book that's outside. And it's like, you know, maybe that, I don't know if that's good or not, but it does take a little longer. It doesn't even need to be moral. It's just is what I do.
Yeah, yeah, so. It is what you do. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I have my books on Kindle that I read in my bathtub because I've lost too many to the depths. Yeah. Kindle is waterproof.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Charlotte Mason talked about like having multiple books. I feel like maybe I read that in one of her books, but I think having multiple books going at one time is nice because then I can like have my bedtime reading or I can read something that's more intellectual or more like in my mind, you know, or I like to read history on an adult level, like whatever I'm learning with my kids, I'll like read, you know, something higher for myself to get like another level of it. So I like to do that in the afternoon. But so I think, but then like I'll end up grabbing all these books from my shelves and have these huge stacks for myself. And they're just like whispering to me, like, when are you going to read me? You know? And it's like, well, I can't read you all at once. So then I just have to go through and I have to say, I'm putting you away. I'll come back.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like my little girl.
The other thing about that approach is when you travel, you have to bring all those friends with you.
Yeah.
My husband is like, why? We're gone for a weekend. Why do you have all of these books? I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to feel like reading.
Exactly.
It's like you have a whole suitcase, 50 pounds, you know, just with the.
My books are the checked bag, but my clothes are the carry-on.
Exactly. Well, Carol used to always say, like, you don't throw a book, it's our friends, you know? Yeah. And now my kids are like, I'm surrounded by my friends. It's like a cloud of witnesses, you know, to my life, knowing all the secrets. How many times did I get impatient reading, you know, Farmer Boy?
Oh, but goodness.
It is funny when I look back, you know, on your iPhone, how you get like your picture, you know, today and, you know, 10 years ago, I'm like, wow, that happened. Like there was like a decade I don't think I remember very well. But anyway, I can tell what books we were reading by the costumes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, we must have been in the Westward Expansion here and Knights here. And, you know, it's maybe not a specific book, but it's like our unit study pages come alive. And
That's sweet.
It's been a blessing to be surrounded by books and care about buying books. And now that I'm, you know, middle age and in my 50s, I'm not sure all books will get the time that I thought they would get early on in my life. And there's some freedom in that too. Like, I think there's, you know, I want to put myself through my own school, you know?
Yeah.
And like really sit with a lot of the literature that I have not read if it wasn't read aloud that they read to themselves, you know, and because it's been really fun, like back to our previous talk about like Giants in the Earth and The End of the Affair. My older boys have read those books. And so it was really fun to talk about a book as an adult with my children who have read it and were deeply moved and how it changed their lives, you know, and you really do see that they are your friends. You know, it's a very different experience than with your, you know, third grader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just appropriately so just don't have the same context for what they're reading at the time. So, it's been the greatest gift. I think the greatest grief I have right now, in fact, Dana and I've been talking about it, is that we aren't reading aloud to our kids much, if at all, and spaced apart it is for those experiences and how much we miss that time of reading aloud to the kids at night and how do we carve time again for it. So because I miss the formation and that I didn't have to read. I get read too, you know.
Yeah.
Kara, you said something about educate, you know, doing your own school of whatever, in your own school by reading these books. And I just listened to the high school webinar that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Begin with the End in Mind webinar. And I thought, I am going, maybe this is going to be my next year's like list of books, but I want to go through Invitation to the Classics because I've had kids do it, but I have not done it. And read it and read the books. And so, it just was really inspiring to me.
Yeah. You never stop learning.
No.
Well, and when you get to approach it for the sake of your own experience, it's there with the book. Like how many of the authors in Well-Read Mom are in that book? Probably quite a few.
Probably.
You know,
so
we would gain some understanding that I probably wouldn't have even had context for 5-10 years ago, even theologically, now that, you know, we're in different churches. So, yeah. So good.
Yeah.
We could talk for hours about this, I think.
We really could. We really could. What would be your parting word to a listener of just encouragement to, you know, thinking of like a young mom, school-aged kids, you know, what would be your encouragement to her in her reading life?
Just start. Mm-hmm. You know, I think to pick a book off of Carol's list. And challenge yourself. And, you know, it might be really hard, slow going at first. I remember those, like, I think the first Jane Austen I read, it was like, that's hard. but especially when I wasn't reading good literature.
Mm-hmm, right.
But so I would just encourage you to just start. And even if it's just a paragraph, like I go through phases where I'm really tired. I have grandkids and kids, and it's, you know, I don't have the time. But if I can just get in bed and read a paragraph of my book, then I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, good. And I can put it down and go to sleep. But mm-hmm. just start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My husband just says, like, man, if you read 5 pages a day, you get through so many books in a year. Like it, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be extreme. I would agree. Just start. And I think even there's no shame in starting with picture books and, yeah. and chapter books that are, that create the momentum and the capacity to sit long enough to get through something. It's like we're all very busy and very, very busy on our phones, and that whether we're on social media or not, like our lives are predominantly ruled by those, our emails, in text even, and mm-hmm. it does affect our capacity to sit for a while, whether we think so or not. And I just think it's like, be patient with yourself and gentle with yourself. It's worth becoming a reader, and it can take a while, and that's okay. Like, just give yourself the grace to, like, a page a day is a lot, mm-hmm. a lot, and to not rush it. It's good. It's like good chocolate or good food or whatever your good thing is, good music, mm-hmm. right? You don't need to rush it, mm-hmm. but it is a skill. You know, and it's a skill that takes time to practice.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you for sharing your experience and your wisdom. Love having you guys.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.